When it comes to weight management, we tend to focus on what we eat, but Noom's approach puts the focus on why we eat. That's a game changer. Noom uses science and personalization to help you manage your weight for the long term. Their psychology-based approach helps build better habits and behaviors that are easier to maintain. The best part? You decide how Noom fits into your life, not the other way around. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com to sign up today.
What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from pitchholes.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is August 10th, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Do you have PL Plus? No. Get out of here. This is just for PL Plus members. Thank you all so much for what you do. Miles Michaelis went 2.2 innings of 10 runs, 14 hits, 0 walks, and 2 Ks in the starting cores. Oh boy. Yeah, we knew that BABIP regression would happen, but I mean, this was a lot. 684 BABIP versus the 247 clip he had for the full year. I watched the whole third inning collapse for YouTube this morning. Definitely check that out. I think Michaelis didn't pitch at his best, but he didn't deserve this. He gave the opportunity for the Rockies to mess him up. They did, and so it goes. You start him next time out, and that's that. Is he going to be a sub-3 ERA guy? No. He's probably going to be 3.5, hovering 4 or something like that. That's just kind of really who Michaelis is, but it's okay. You just keep starting him in a 12-team reason, Toby. That's fine. Luis Castillo against the Yankees went against Gerrit Cole, and they had an amazing pitching duel. Castillo, 8 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 2 walks, 7 Ks. While Gerrit Cole, 7 innings, 0 earned runs, 4 hits, 0 walks, and 8 Ks. I mean, glad that Castillo earned his ace, he's going to ace, earned a Gallows pole with those 20 whiffs, shared it with Zach Wheeler. Gerrit Cole didn't really have much else with the secondary stuff. I mean, he did use more curveballs than usual, but really relied on 4 seamers. And I imagine that was him just saying, look, my heater's that good, I'm going to dominate the Mariners with this one. Fair enough. As far as Castillo goes, he didn't have his changeup, only 33% strike rate, and he still did this. Ace is going to ace for both of them. Same with Shane Bieber, of course, against Detroit. 8K, 7 innings, duh. Shohei Ohtani actually didn't have his best secondary stuff. I want to say secondary because really the slider is the primary at 40%. 4 seamers and cutters and splitters weren't that good, but he still did well, of course, against the Athletics. Ryan Yarbrough came in after Jimmy Yacobonis, didn't do well, so it goes. He's just a cheap win chase. Brittany Singer rebounded against the White Sox, and we'll say it was not the same command that we saw against the Yankees. It was good with the slider. Sinkers were very much just get it over the plate, and we'll deal with this later. 7.1 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 6 strikeouts against those White Sox. That's good. I'm not starting him against the Dodgers. Tommy Henry for the Diamondbacks went against the Pirates. 7 innings, 1 run, 4 hits, 2 walks, 3 Ks. It's possible this guy can turn into a Toby. It was his second start in the majors. It was a blame it on the Pirates. I don't really think that he's anything special. Maybe he does turn into that over time. But it's like 91 on the heater with a decent slider. Like, it's nothing to get really excited about. Joe Musgrove against the Giants. Ace is going to ace. Nothing really to talk about there. Julio Urias was a little bit lower on the velocity, not 94.5, but 93.5, but it's not 91 or 92. That's great. He had a King Cole at 37% CSW. He's doing awesome. This was against the Twins. Got the win, 7 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, and 8 Ks. Zach Wheeler, as I mentioned, share the Gallows pole, 6 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 3 walks, 8 Ks. A little annoying to see 3 walks against Miami. Whatever, we move on. Davis Martin did well against the Royals, 5.2 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 1 walk, and 3 Ks. This is for the White Sox in a doubleheader. Doesn't matter. There's nothing that you really want to talk about here. I mean, the slider did well when it was executed, but it's so erratic. Don't do it. Paulo Espino finally got to 86 pitches. I know this is so funny how much I care about this, but this is why. Because when he gets to 86 pitches and he faces a team like the Cubs, what do you know? 5 innings, 1 run, 6 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks. I didn't start him because I didn't think that he'd be this far with his leash. And bam, there it is. Now he gets the Padres twice, and I don't want to start him. But at least now he's on the menu, right? And that's what's important. Tyler Alexander went against the Guardians. 7 innings, 2 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, and 4 and 2 Ks. Great, it's a birthday party for TLX. You don't continue with that. Carlos Carrasco went against the Reds on the road as he hosted them in Citi Field. 6.2 innings of 2 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, and 9 Ks. You know, one extra base runner than you wanted, but the slider was really good, and good stuff here from Carrasco. Jonathan Heasley did well against the White Sox. Don't really care. He's just there for the doubleheader. You can move on from that. Freddy Peralta went against the Rays for 5 innings, 2 earned runs, earned the win, 2 hits, 0 walks, and 4 Ks. Slider was just 0 for 12 CSW, even though he did locate it pretty well down. And the fastball location was better. He was still a tick down on the fastball. I don't know. He gets the Dodgers next, and I think you want to take another day off, as he's only at 65 pitches here. But he'll be like 80 pitches plus after that one, and then he'll have the Cubs. So just take one more break on Peralta, then we're all gung-ho about it. Zach Thompson against the Diamondbacks was as boring as you'll find. Kyle Bradish, 5.1 innings, 300 runs against the Jays. I'm glad that he did okay against them, but no. Alec Manoa against the Orioles, a little disappointing. 5 innings, 300 runs, 8 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. I think he was just way too hittable in the middle of the zone. Just not it. I probably am going to lower him below Cease unless something dramatically changes between now and next week's edition of the list. Yes, I'd be very upset about that in February, but Cease is, I've admitted my mistake there. Despite his 10% plus walk rate, he's been absurdly good. But yeah, that's the situation there. The Manoa Jimmy hat that is James Kripalien did not pull off the stream as I was hoping for. 5.5 innings of 300 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. Ah, it's a coin flip next time against the Rangers. I'm saying no in that one. Keep in mind also, James Kripalien had weird struggles against the Rangers last year too. Alex Cobb went against the Padres. 5 innings, 300 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, and 7 Ks. Yeah, 12 splitter whiffs and 15 called strikes on the sinker. I think this is more of the Padres waking up a little bit. I'm all for him going against the Diamondbacks next. I mean, the sinker got hit in this one. Yeah, he should be fine against the Diamondbacks. Braxton Garrett went against the Phillies. 4.2 innings, 300 runs, 8 hits, 0 walks, and 3 Ks. Just 3 whiffs on that slider. That's really the big question mark that I had. And if he doesn't have the slider whiffs, then there really isn't anything else for Garrett to survive. Maybe this was just weak opponents before. Maybe it's just one of those days against the Phillies. He gets the Padres next. I'm not doing that one. Lance Lynn went against the Royals. 6 innings, 4 runs, 7 hits, 1 walk, 5 Ks. Ugh. Man, he allowed the 2 final runs in the 6. He was looking good through 5. Velocity is still present. The cutter wasn't as good. I hope he's better moving forward. You just got to keep starting Lynn as you were in purgatory with that one. Mike Minor had a decent 4-seamer command, but there's nothing else to pull from this 5.1 innings of 4 runs against the Mets. Marcus Stroman had a really disappointing start against the Nationals. 5 innings of 4 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, and 6 Ks. He's going to face them again on Monday. I'm going to start him again because it should be better than this. Rich Hill went against the Atlanta Braves and did not do anything that you care about. How am I going to butter my bread with this with 0 strikeouts? He gets the Pirates next, though. And maybe he can have some old man magic there. Man, that's rough. I don't know. I don't really want to chase that. It's a desperate play if you want it. Charlie Morton went against the Red Sox. 6 innings of 5 runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 7 Ks. The curveball was excellent. The fastball got battered here, and he allowed 3 home runs. It's unfortunate, considering how good the curveball is. Didn't allow a single hit on that one. I think you keep rolling with Morton and just hope that the fastball can survive better than this. Ryan Feltner went against the Cardinals, and we do not care. Jose Urquidy went against the Rangers, and it was disappointing. 5 innings, 5 runs, 5 hits, 2 walks, 4 Ks. The fastball wasn't as dominant, and the secondary stuff didn't step up as much as it could. He gets the Chi Sox next, so you're still going to likely start him there. Joe Ryan went against the Dodgers, and guess what? The number 2 pitch wasn't there, and he got hit around. He gets the Royals next, and I'm fine with that. 5 innings, 5 runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, 4 Ks here against the Dodgers for Joe Ryan. But yeah, I mean, he's not going to be something special until that slider gets into action. And then there's Martin Perez, who had a blip in his Vargas role. Then again, he went against the Astros 4 times. The last 3 he did well. This one he did not. So 5 innings, 7 runs, 6 hits, 3 walks, and 2 Ks. You know, it's alright, whatever. His command was fine, and I wouldn't change anything. Keep starting Martin Perez in your leagues. Looking forward to today's starters. It's exactly the same as yesterday, save for you have no Patrick Sandoval, sadly. You have Tuki Toussaint instead, which means the next start will be on Friday for Patrick Sandoval against the Twins, and that's much, much more difficult. That's really frustrating. But we have Justin Steele as our stream pick of the day against the Nationals. Should be a lot of fun there. I really like his slider. I think that could work out very well. But otherwise, it's all the same stuff. Alcantara, Verlander, Woodruff, top tier, with Kyle Wright as well. Nestor Cortez, Robbie Ray, Jose Berríos, Jeffrey Springs, John Minaya, Taiwan Walker, and Noah Syndergaard in the second tier. Keep in mind, Robbie Ray against the Yankees, they didn't score a single run in 13 innings last night. Josiah Gray, Justin Steele, Johnny Cueto, Aaron Savali, Madison Bumgarner, Mitch Keller, and Paul Blackburn are in that questionable start tier. Paul Blackburn's kind of questionable, really, like, so much so because hasn't been good lately, and Kaprielian couldn't handle the Angels last night. I don't know. And do not start tier Sonny Gray, just like with Joe Ryan. I don't want to start him against the Dodgers. Jose Quintana is in cores. We learned our lesson, right, from yesterday? Cool. Chris Bubich, Dean Kramer, Nick Pivetta, Jacob Junis, Glenn Otto, Kyle Freeland, Tuukka DeSant, Drew Hutchinson, Ryan Pepiot, and TJ Zoik. Don't want to start any of these guys. Looking forward to tomorrow. It's a very short day. Dylan Cease, Merrill Kelly, and Framber Valdez are in that top tier. Pretty obvious stuff. As Kelly gets the Pirates, Valdez against the Rangers, and Dylan Cease number one against the Royals. Duh. Probable start tier. I'm able to stream Nicolò Dolo right at the 20% mark against the Cubs. You have Kyle Gibson against Miami and Zach Plesac against Detroit. Keep in mind, that is the Field of Dreams game. So maybe you want to lower Lodolo a little bit because he had juice balls last time they did it. I don't know. I think that's too much. Lodolo is really good, and he gets the Cubs. The other two guys are Tobies against really bad teams. Questionable starts here has Edward Cabrera and Zach Greinke. Edward Cabrera against the Phillies. Keep in mind, only an 18% zone rate across all of his pitches in that first start. I think Edward Cabrera is not quite fixed yet, and the Cubs really let him off the hook in that first outing. 8 strikeouts and 3 walks and no hits. The Phillies are much better, and I think it's a little bit of a trap here, trusting Edward Cabrera blindly. Zach Greinke against the White Sox, I don't love it, but he's Greinke. He can go 5-6 innings of decent ball against the White Sox. And then do not start to tier Drew Smiley's opposite of Lodolo in that Field of Dreams game. His curveball has been better lately. It might work out. We'll see. JT Brubaker against the Diamondbacks. Josh Winkowski and Austin Voth are the other ones that are of consideration. Brubaker's too volatile for me, even against the Diamondbacks. Winkowski is going against Voth, so it's Winkowski against the Orioles, Voth against the Red Sox. Voth has a good curveball, and it may work out, but I'm not risking this one, and Winkowski is a cheap win guy, but the Orioles have been kind of good. It's just, I don't want to do any of this. And the other ones are Garrett Hill against the Guardians, no thanks. Cole Ragans, who is kind of interesting, but he goes against the Astros. We wait longer for that. And Germán Márquez is going against Dakota Hudson and Coors, and just no way whatsoever. Because it is Wednesday, it is buy and sell, and I'm trying to figure out how to do this right for y'all. But I mean, I think you guys know the General Tobies I am selling. I've been talking about Michaelis, for example. Martin Perez and Tyler Anderson, all that kind of stuff. But I mean, honestly, it's August at this point. Your trade deadline is coming up, and it's kind of hard to figure out who to move on from and who not to. Because it could just last for another 8 weeks or so, right? We have Michael Kopech, who's too much of a cherry bomb. I think if you're still holding on to that, you could reconsider. Logan Gilbert just had his massive regression for 2 starts against the Yankees, so it's 2.77 ERA now, about a 3.4, 3.5. I'm still selling. I still don't think that he's a sub-3 ERA guy. I don't think he's going to jump back up now, right? Some guys might buy into that, so maybe you want to do it. I'm trying to think of other highly rostered guys that I'm selling here. I don't really know. I mean, I'm still selling, of course, Nathan Eovaldi. The depressed velocity is just too scary. I guess I'm buying Frankie Montes' recovery after the terrible start for the Yankees. But there's a little bit risky, of course, with the shoulder. Maybe I am overlooking that. Let's see here. I mean, a lot of these are, do we buy in on Jose Berríos and Lucas Giolito? I think that's a risky one, but then again, the best buys are the ones that guys don't want them in the first place. Talk to the manager of that team and see if there's something that you can just kind of take a chance on those if you can. Obviously, buying Reed Demers everywhere I can. He's an auto start, like, essentially right now. Andrew Heaney might be a sell because he's only going about 4 to 5 innings and he's capped at that. I'm buying Blake Snell's resurgence. Let's see here. Am I buying Lance Lynn? I think I might actually be buying Lance Lynn at the moment. The cutter wasn't as good, but the velocity was there, as I mentioned earlier in the podcast. I think I'm going to do that. But yeah, let's look at the lower rostered ones now. I'm trying to see if there's someone that is, I'm kind of buying Justin Steele and James Kaprielian. I mean, just as streaming options moving forward. But guys, you should definitely be considering. Rossi Contreras should be coming up soon. Greg Gibbons, check out his Stash articles over the weekend. He'll have the updates for you there, but it's definitely someone to look into moving forward. If you want cheap wins, Ryan Yarbrough is not the worst thing ever. He's only 3% rostered. Glenn Otto maybe you should be looking at, and Dylan Lynch are like really deep ads to be considering for your deeper league. Same with Chris Bubich. If he does well against the White Sox tomorrow, or actually today, that could be interesting, and I might find myself leading him with a roundup once again. I'm not buying into Jose Suarez doing well against the Athletics. I don't think you really need to go after that one. But yeah, I think that's about it. Maybe Aaron Civale and Edward Cabrera would be buying in under 30% rostered at the moment. But yeah, nothing crazy after that. All right, but that's it for today. So I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Of course, I'll be back tomorrow. Good luck today, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.